This week on the PhD cast, when promotions go wrong, the implications and fallout from Jeep's remote dealership promotion. Also, the latest SMI are in, who's up and who's down in the spend figures from the last 12 months. And PhD reaches out to our media partners. That and more on the PhD cast from PhD Australia. Hey, welcome to the PhD cast. This week, I'm joined by regulars Emma Glazier.
Hello.
Young Jess.
Hello.
Stuart.
Good morning.
And Peter's here as well.
Hello.
I'm Chris Stevenson, and this week, two things to talk about. The first is when promotions go wrong. Jeep, in the last week, have been looking at the fallout from their remote dealership promotion, which saw customers or potential customers able to grab one of their Cherokees, I think it was, for $10,000. This is less about the specifics of the promotion. There's been more than enough commentary on that. It's more, how can brands prepare themselves and mitigate for these kind of ambitious promotions and when they don't always go according to plan?
I definitely applaud Jeep for doing something like this. I think it's actually a really interesting initiative, and I quite like the fact they focused on one big idea. So all their cons are encouraging people to get involved in the promotion, which is a great use of media. In terms of answering your question specifically, it's all about expecting and planning for it to go wrong. So a lot of clients
hope for the best, plan for the worst.
Well, even expect the worst, because I think a lot of brands do get caught up in kind of things going wrong and it being a negative thing. Actually, I mean, to some extent, when it's not too bad, all publicity is good publicity. And if it doesn't necessarily affect your brand metrics, I don't think it makes a massive issue. I mean, Vodafone, different example, because that's just functionally the product is wrong. But for this, it's a promotion that went wrong, so I don't think it's necessarily that bad. But expect it to happen and mitigate it and make sure you've got an action plan in place to make it happen.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. But also, not just preparing for the worst, but just preparing fully, full stop. From what I've seen of some of the issues that happened here was from sort of not thorough testing and things not working on certain devices and that sort of thing. So as well as, like you said, preparing for the worst or certainly having a response in place for any kind of backlash, just a sort of thorough, rigorous testing procedure for something like this as well, I think
Yeah, I think the other thing is you need to prepare for the fact that Australians generally won't do anything. So if you make it hard...
Not just Australians, just to reiterate that. Most consumers. People won't do anything.
So Australians generally don't do a lot, and so you can't expect them to do a lot. So making them have several steps and getting them into an app and then having them to call. It's that KISS principle of keep it simple, stupid. And I think that's the other core thing, is the simpler it is to do, the more people will engage with the project.
Well, I guess for this instance, because it is quite a high-end prize, like you win a Jeep. So I think there is a logic to adding more hurdles to doing it, because the more hurdles you have, the greater the value equation
becomes. Effort in, reward out.
Exactly. However, if you put that effort in and there's no chance of winning, that's where the fall down comes. So I think that's where they've really kind of made their big mistake, by really not making sure that the effort that someone's gone to is rewarded on those levels.
I think it's also all about how they deal with disgruntled customers, because like if they're reacting and commenting back to the negative comments that are all over Facebook, then that's a proactive way to deal with the situation. If they're just sort of like sitting back reading them, freaking out, then that's probably not the best way to handle.
Yeah, because certainly from a publicity point of view, it's avoiding your reaction to the story becoming the story. Keep the story focused on what's happened, how it's happened, and mitigate that and stop your reaction becoming a whole new story that that trade journalists will very happily jump on. I think it's absolutely fair to say this is a great strategy, but this is just failure of execution, right?
Yeah, I mean, as a brand, I mean, they've done some great stuff and pushed push the industry in a direction. I mean, even their creative around their ads at the moment is breaking all the conventions of what auto normally does. And it's another good example where they're just, you know, they're really trying to step out of conventions in the auto sector. And I really applaud them for it. And I think you're right, it's just a fall down in implementation off the back of a really sound strategy and also a brave strategy, which is nice to see from the auto category.
Yeah, I totally concur. I mean, declaration of interest. I drive a Jeep and young Elmo is one of my favourite things in the world. I've got nothing but respect for their content strategies, for how they look to go to market, and no doubt there's a bit of select perception in play on my part from a behavioural point of view, but I've got nothing but respect for what they're doing and how they're doing it.
I think it's a really interesting one as well, because I mean, all the negativity that's come from it, how much is that actually going to impact the purchase consideration for someone genuinely buying a Jeep? So because it's failed, because one competition failed somewhere, this is not going to stop me from buying a Jeep. Yeah. That's such a high interest, high involved category. I don't think it matters. And if I were the marketeers, I'd be like, some people were annoyed. Oh, well.
There was an interesting quote in one of these articles that we read as well, where someone from Jeep was publicly, on record as saying something to that effect, as in like, oh, it doesn't matter because, you know, people go through a lot more stages when they choose a car. So for me, that, yeah, answers what you're saying, but also sort of introduces an interesting point around, okay, then what was your objective for this competition in the first place? Because it was probably a big investment on their part. There were a few stages to this and custom app build and giving away a series of cars and stuff like that. So if they felt that it wouldn't drive purchase consideration later on, what perhaps was their core objective of running the competition?
Well, I interpret that to say that it gives them a reason to talk to people. And at the moment, there isn't very many. I think typically when there's a new model, that's probably the only time the category activates. Mm-hmm. But using this as a promotional mechanic gave them an opportunity to talk to people in an occasion when they necessarily wouldn't.
Yep.
And I guess it does reinforce some of the brand values in terms of kind of being accessible and kind of being a bit more out there. Off-roading, outback, there's obviously a synergy there. So if their KPI was mental availability, I think it did it quite well.
And we've seen massively successful examples of doing exactly that, using a big promotion to create an occasion to talk around, whether it's the Do Us a Flavour for crisps, a big promotion on designing a crisp flavour, or whether even you could look at World's Best Job through this lens as well, a big promotion that gave people reasons to talk about something that they wouldn't otherwise be talking about. Also, this week we saw the release of the SMI figures. SMI are the company that track advertising spend. A few headlines at the close of the financial year. The Australian advertising market finished up 1.9%, $7.5 billion we spend overall. Print advertising, double-digit declines. Newspaper market contracting $100 million with a 17% decline. Metro print, worst affected. Steady as she goes, largely everywhere. TV, outdoor.
Kind of like it's like
weather forecasting.
Yeah.
Storms coming in from the northwest. Steady as she goes everywhere, but certainly the decline of print has been at the success of digital and the growth of digital. This is the shift of media spend and the move of media spend and ad spend in this direction is nothing new. Are any of us surprised by the continued extent of this? Do any of us anticipate a plateau? And what are the implications structurally for the industry?
The first thing that stuck out to me when I read this article, which, yes, sort of ties into a lot of trends that we've been seeing for a little while, it goes into a lot of depth about things like out of home versus cinema versus print and all this kind of thing. But it talks about digital as one thing, the same as it talks about, print is one thing, out of home maybe is one thing. And then it talks about digital as being equally just one thing alongside those other channels. So it would have been a bit more interesting to go further into, okay, what's maybe search versus display versus social advertising within that space as well, which would kind of bring out a few more few more trends, I think, which would have been interesting.
And within that, what do we see as the main drivers within this digital surge? I mean, 20% increases. What are the factors in play within digital that are driving that growth?
Well, I now use the Yellow Pages to prop up my monitor, and I generally use search to find the things that I need, and that's probably the biggest driver. I mean, you know, I mean, digital channels, consumers have moved, and I guess this is where you're seeing the spend move. I mean, it's interesting when you drill into that, the next level down around, I guess, what the cost of media is, because we haven't seen inflation in digital, so the money is moving, but also inventory is increasing in size and we're getting more inventory. I think the other interesting thing that will obviously hit this year around viewability and being able to buy viewability potentially in this year. Which
And for anyone who doesn't know what viewability is...
The ability to buy advertising that has been viewed as opposed to appearing on a page which may not be viewed.
And it might be surprising to some people that that's been the case up till now.
It absolutely has. So, I mean, technically, the numbers are out in Australia at about 40% of digital advertising is being unviewed or not in the field of view.
Not viewed as opposed to, I'm going to unview that.
I
will eradicate that. Harry Potter-like from my brain.
Unlike. So I think that that'll have a big impact on this year's numbers and see digital kind of probably take a bit of a dive as the market changes for what is a pretty major change. It would have been interesting, I think, as well, to drill into that data a little more and see what the factors behind that is.
I think it's, for me, I completely agree with Emma, it's very indicative of what we're seeing a lot of marketeers and marketing organisations do, which is just to unequivocally and unquestionably embrace digital because they think that's where their consumers are without actually understanding what that means. So
yes.
I think we get digital mandated on quite a lot of briefs now without actually any clarity of what that could possibly look like or actually being for that brand. So
yeah, to paraphrase Nike, just do digital.
Absolutely.
It's perhaps not a mantra that we should be adopting.
And I think, having a clear role for press is really important. And I think it does deliver to some elements that digital just doesn't. And I think just making sure you've got a clear role for communications against different channels with a way that you can kind of work your way through the big mess of fragmentation
and,
that we have.
And for every channel, because this is the only way through fragmentation, right? The only way that you operate in a post-fragmentation world is to have really clear roles and tasks for every single channel. What is each channel doing? How are they joining up? How are they integrating? And how are they getting the sum of the parts, right?
I mean, and that will deliver you disproportionate ROI.
Absolutely will.
As will creativity.
As we know. Creativity in channels mixed with Rolfcons could definitely deliver disproportionate ROI. I completely agree with Emma. I think we do need to understand digital. I mean, could this be the year of the mobile? Would be the question that automatically comes to mind.
I think that year's long gone.
Do you think?
Yes.
Digital is such a big thing. And even as we're working with some of our clients to really understand what that means for them, because it means different things from FMCG right to automotive, we should be reporting as such, and that will help inform marketeers about kind of how they should be viewing digital. So I'd rather see this is the year for video on demand or AV strategy really working versus it being a digital.
And what are the structural implications for print? For print and newspaper businesses, they're obviously looking to get as much inventory into the digital space as possible so they can maximise revenues in the area, but of course the extraction from digital display or from digital media is less than it would be from historically print. What structural change do we think we will continue to see as this trend continues?
Well, I think a really great example in this space, not just because they're a PhD client, but looking at the Guardian and how they have really sort of embraced this space. Well, they recognised it several years ago and you know, they stopped sort of focusing on print quite a while ago. In fact, in Australia, I don't believe they even do print newspapers since they came to this country. So they kind of made that shift internally to become a mobile led, a digitally led news information resource. So it became about not being scared of where things were going and going, we're a newspaper and maybe people, you know, buying less newspapers. It's kind of, okay, what are people doing? Where are people finding news, consuming news? Okay, then that's where we need to be and that's the space we need to go in. And they've been really successful in how they've monetized that. And
I think it's going back to kind of what I said earlier, it requires media agencies and agencies in general to stop focusing on propensity-based planning. And just because consumers are there does not mean we should be in that channel. Mm-hmm. It's such an easy trap to fall into. But as we said before, jokingly, Voltacoms and actually thinking about what channel you're, what you're trying to do, what's the contact, content, contact...
Text.
Text! I always get that wrong! At that moment is absolutely critical, and the Voltacoms will help you do that. So if I was a publisher, I'd be thinking, how can I really ramp up what roles for comms I can achieve at, and what am I good at doing, and just do it well?
I think the key to this too is that you're seeing a revaluing of the paper-based products, and that they're moving online, and they're not getting the yield from online. I mean, it comes back to the quality of content. As we move toward programmatic buying, what we'll do as agencies is we'll pay more for the content that works. So it's just a slightly slower than the press and the publishers might want, but we will see a correction of price back to value, and it's just a matter of time before that happens, because digital cannot continue at the price that it's currently bought at. And once everybody does move to an open market, I think you'll see that prices will go up quite dramatically in the digital space.
Yeah, we need to see inflation in the digital space, so that there's fairer remuneration for the industry that's working, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that will be a vehicle of what will come off the back of being a programmatic buying, and where we're willing to pay certain money for certain content. I mean, digital has kind of grown as it has based on the idea that it's an effective and cost-effective medium. It's actually more expensive. It's more expensive for publishers to deliver. It's more expensive for us as agencies to plan and buy and place. So the reality is it's not cheaper. So that I think that inflation is an inevitability based on delivering sound results.
And also, we should say as well, happy birthday this week on this subject, or the 50th birthday of the Australian. So happy birthday to them for this week. And I suppose anyone who was at that event this week would be asking, what will the Australian look like in 50 years' time? It may be maybe an app. Who knows? I'm sure Rupert's got it covered. Finally, this week, PhD reached out to our media partners, and we had an event which took all those media partners and publishers and producers and amazing organisations that we work with on behalf of our clients, and took them through our client agenda. It's a great thing, I think, for us to do. I think it's a valuable thing to do, and the response and the feedback seems to be great as well. What was your takeout from that event, and what do you think the value is in just getting our media partners across those client priorities in the medium to long term, rather than in the short term campaign planning space?
I think it, for me, it was the first one that I've attended this week, and really, really enjoyed it. And it just really showed demonstrated our values around collaboration. So, you know, opening our doors up to these partners. They're not just, say, suppliers that we talk to and fire off on emails, but they're happy, come on in, come and talk to our team, hear about our clients. Let's work together. Let's work on, you know, longer term things. So most people presented, you know, what's coming up in the next year, sharing some challenges around, you know, their branding category, and being quite honest and open in that respect. So I thought it was a great opportunity for more of that sort of collaboration.
Yeah, look, a great event. I mean, as we all talk about the change being pretty rapid, and I think between publishers, agencies, and clients, we need to get closer toward understanding what that means. speed to market, all of those things. So I think the more we talk, the more we open up, the more we give publishers access to our clients and vice versa. You know, we're going to come up with better results and quicker, which is exactly what our clients are asking us to do. So time frames get shorter, and that's just a good example of how we kind of try to embrace that.
And that's about all we've got time for this week. A big thank you to all those media partners who came along for this week's event, and a big thank you to Peter.
Yeah, thank you.
And Stu and Jess and Emma. I was Chris Stevenson. That was the PhD cast. We'll be back next week.
To get more from PhD Australia, you can like us on Facebook, you can follow us on Twitter, or find us on Google Plus @PhD Australia.